Paul's interaction and relationship with the Church of Corinth, and hopefully draw from that relationship some relevant things to carry over into our lives as we walk in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we're going to do this morning is to engage in the commissioning of the 2015 work team. And I'm going to ask the work team if they would actually come out into the aisle as we do the commissioning, so that when we get to the point of laying of hands, the members of our congregation, our visitors here today, can reach out and make physical contact with you.
As the work team makes their way to the center aisle, I just wanted to come back before the congregation and, again, once again, thank you for all the support that you've given to this project and this ministry over the years. The last couple of weeks, Patty and I have come before you, and we mentioned that the monies just didn't seem to be there for the budgeted amount for this project. And you know, I was actually embarrassed to be able to talk about that. But God is good, and He answered those prayers, because this congregation is not ready to only put up a deck or a ramp. They want to put rooms on mobile homes. We not only reached our goal, we exceeded it by almost $500. And the other benefit to that is that the monies that came in last week, that came through the children's collection, it's in your bulletin, $360-some, will be able to go toward helping each one of us who pays out of our own pockets to be able to do this work trip. And Patty sent that good news around. There's another collection today. So if you feel so led to be as generous as you were last week, again, we will appreciate all those many ways that you've been able to do that. We have the chuck wagon packed, put the tarp over it between services, the truck's loaded, tools are ready. I think I forgot my toothbrush. Who brushes their teeth when they're on the work trip? Steve does. Okay, he brushes his teeth. Thank you, Steve. But you know that it's not about the people who are standing here and waiting to have this commissioning done. It's about this whole church. And how ...23 years that we will make this happen. And I'll be here next year for the 24th, and I hope you'll be here to support it. You know, I wish Pastor Lake were here today. I think I can speak for a lot of us who have grown to love that man, and he's always been a part of this, just like all the pastors have that, over the years that have supported this. But to see this, you got to see this guy with a headband on and sweating like everybody else, and you know that he's just one of the people, and he's one of those folks from this church making it happen. So we hope, Ryan, that you're right, that he gets his batteries recharged and he takes advantage of the time away from the church and his church family. And with that, we'll go on with the commissioning.
Okay. Would you follow me along with our commissioning in the bulletin? All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. And these members of our church begin their work among the people of Philippi, West Virginia. We pray the blessings of God, our pastor, and this church upon their endeavors. Through our prayers, we will be united with you in your work. Let us affirm our belief in the responsibilities of Christian service.
We believe in God, creator of the world, and in Jesus Christ, the human creation.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom we acknowledge God's gifts. We dedicate ourselves to peace throughout the world and to the rule of justice and law among all nations. Brothers and sisters, would you join with me now and make physical laying of hands upon our missionaries? As we pray for their mission. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to bear good fruit. We thank you, Lord, for trusting us to carry your message to the Lance family in Philippi, West Virginia. We trust you for trusting us to convey your message to them that you know their needs, you know their suffering, and that you send us as your children to ease their burden. Father, we ask that you protect the members of this mission as they proceed to Philippi, to help them navigate through weather issues and the inevitable construction issues and all the other barriers in place that would prevent them from accomplishing your mission, you will cast them aside. You will energize this group of missionaries, and you will energize this church through your efforts. And through these efforts, we offer to you, Lord, our Father's Day present to you, that we do these good works in your name. Happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Would you now join us in our commissioning hymn?
I don't know whether you've taken a chance to read the shirts this year. Thank you, Melissa, for continuing to champion these wonderful garments. Last year, yes. Last year it said the church has left the building. This year it's a double. It says believe there is good in the world, and then also be the good in the world. With the tragedy that happened in Charleston, in a church, we know that we need to be the good in the world. It's our call. And it's more than just a missions ministry. It's a lifestyle. This year, for the first time in many years, we will be missing two of our alumni, missing them from the team, from the travel south, not missing them from their participation and their prayers and their support of this group. Looking back over the years, the first picture that I could find of this man on a work trip was in 1998. And Wendell, would you and Sarah please come up? As they come forward, Sarah is a reason for many of us to go to the work trip because of her pies. Now, I know that that's been denied many times by many people, but come on, heart of hearts, you know that's why you were there. I know Rick loved Sarah's pies, as we all do. Come on up. But some years ago, they said, we're going to go on a work trip until we can't go anymore. This is the year that they will not be traveling south with us. And I wanted to recognize them for the many years and dedication that they have given, the lifestyle that they have showed to each one of us, not only on the work team, but also in this church. And Wendell, you know, I've given you a bad time over the years because you and I are kind of cut from the same cloth. We work hard to stay clean. But I found out something about you pressing your work clothes that I can't go there. So I still love you. I love both of you to death. But in recognition of your time with us, we've got a couple of mementos. A shirt that Wendell wore for almost every work trip was a shirt that was created through Heart and Hand that many of us purchased. And it said, Building for Life. Building for Life. These are two people who have been building for life all their lives, sacrificing and doing for others. They deserve a round of applause. Standing O. You ever notice that when the pictures come out, that the people who are working, sometimes you don't see their picture? Well, I had a tough time trying to find pictures of these two. Sarah doesn't like to have her picture taken when she's working in the kitchen. But one of the favorite parts of her time, I think, at the work trip was when these baskets came out to the families, and I was able to get a picture of Sarah with one of the little ones from our build 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I found a picture of Wendell helping Ray cut some lumber when we were doing the roof over, and you happen to have that Building for Life shirt on. So on this picture at the top, it says Building for Life through the years. Don't be telling me it's not the best picture of you. I had a tough time finding those. So I give you permission to change those if you can find any better. Maybe Josh can help us out. I would also like to, I'd love to be able to change the name of this work trip, but I can't do that because Rick is too much of a part of it. But yes, he is. He's a very special man. But I'd like to present this to you, and let me read it. In appreciation of your years of service as members of the First United Methodist Church work team, we grant lifetime membership to Sarah and Wendell with all the rights and privileges, blessings and honor, sacrifice and rewards unto unto you from this day forward, that his name be glorified. Thank you for your love and dedication. They said thank you.
And on that happy note, would you please join me in passing the peace of Christ? The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning and welcome, and happy Father's Day. We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. And if you are visiting with us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the Shepherd's Crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. And as I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew, pass it to others in your pew, and finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone that normally sits next to you is not there today, please call them and see how they're doing, if they're ill, or, you know, ask them to come back, that we've missed them. You may write any prayer requests on the cards that are in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can then bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. Under the moments of informality, mission, and ministry of the church, just highlighting a few announcements we have. Of course, keep the work team in your prayers and thoughts this week, hopefully having some drier weather than we've had in the past. I understand that if they get to day two or three, that they'll be under roof. So we're going to, yeah, Jack.
Day one.
Oh, day one, they need, okay. Day one, they need no rain, obviously, and they hope to be under roof after day one. Okay, good job. The other announcement is concerning Vacation Bible School. As you see, the mountains are up for our theme, which is Everest. Penny is heading that up this year. I understand we only need a few helpers. We only need two or three to fill the staff, so that's wonderful news. Our Bible school is going to take place July the 13th to 17th. There is an area in the narthex back in the far corner, and she has it all organized with bags, supplies that are needed written on these bags. So if you can be so kind to take a bag and bring in the supplies, that will help us greatly. There's an announcement about altar flowers being needed. You can see Alice, and I think that's for the months of July and August. Also, some graduate information is needed. If you have a high school grad or a college grad, we need to know their plans, where they're attending, and we'd like to encourage you to do that. I think Diane has an announcement.
Before Christmas, we had something called a busy box out in the narthex, and it disappeared at Christmas, and we just found it again. So I'd like to explain to you what it is. My tiny little puppy dog, which I'm sure you can't see from out there, is to remind me that this busy box is available for children in the congregation. Sometimes we know it's a lot of stuff if, you know, when you're carting stuff from home for your small children, and then you got to remember to bring something with you to keep them occupied during the service. Sometimes that's just one more thing to have to grab in the morning. So we want to make it easier for the parents of young children. If you would like, you may stop at the box, take a bag, put in it whatever age-appropriate toy you think your child might use, or toys, to keep them occupied, and then after the service, just return it to the box so we can use it in later services. And please know that we value and are excited to see the young children with us. So please make use of this. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Okay. If not, then let's prepare our hearts and minds for our morning worship. Please stand and join with me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. For our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love. For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope, and their family and friends support and console them. For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us. For fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families. God our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Through Christ our Lord, let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Please join the unison prayer. God our Father, Mother and Father, we come to you as children. Be with us as we learn to see one another with new eyes. Hear one another with new hearts. And treat one another in a new way. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 710, Faith of Our Fathers.
Good morning. How you doing? I'm Brian. Nice to meet y'all. You guys know what special day this is?
Father's Day.
What is it?
Father's Day.
Yes, it is. It's Father's Day. How about that? My father has since passed away, but I have memories of my father. You know, there's special things you recall that you do with your dad, I think. And when I was a little kid, and we'd be coming up to the Christmas holidays, he took me out special, you know, from separate and apart from my other brothers. We'd go down to Pittsburgh, and we'd shop in some of the stores and look at all the store windows, and there was Gimbels and Horns and Kaufman's, and then he'd take me to Tambellini's on Wood Street, and I'd get this pecan ball covered with chocolate, and we'd eat that, and then he'd take me to a movie, and it was a magical day. You have any special memories, kids, of things you do, or with Dad, or maybe your grandfather? Anything comes to mind? I bet you got some. And today's all about saying thanks for that. Are you guys doing anything special with Dad today? No? Maybe just say thanks or send a card or something like that. We as a church are doing a Father's Day present today, and it's the work trip. You heard about our work trip? Yeah, and we're going out and we're going to bear good fruit. And it's our way of saying to God the Father, you know, Happy Father's Day. We're doing that for Him. And so we're going to help here today, and you're going to help that work troop out today by going around and collecting some money so that they can go down and help out the Lance family. There's mom and a dad and their son James, and help them put a room onto their mobile home. So we're going to pray from them. Could you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we do pray for our missionaries heading to Philippi, West Virginia. Father, we also ask that you be with these children as they grow to maturity in their faith, that they too may come to bear good fruit. Amen. Okay, kids, so as we said, the collection today is going towards the work troop.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside a crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." But then he said, "Wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you'd say a prayer before the class would start. And one week when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. Giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift that you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." And one by one they came, far as our eyes could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. The little things that you had done and sacrifices made, unnoticed on this earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before our Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
Thank you, Becky, for sharing your gift. Our scripture reading today is Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. And that's on page 37 in our Pew Bible if you wish to follow along. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, our responsive reading is number 757 in your hymn book. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way, and leads the humble in what is right, and teaches them their way. If the ushers will come forward, it is now time for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. God, ruler of the wind and water, as Christ brought his disciples through the storm and waves on the Sea of Galilee, so you have brought each of us through the turmoil of our lives. Where would we be if your love and care were not there to calm the sea and carry us safely through the storm? May the gifts we give this morning, blessed by you, Lord, help us reach out to others. We give thanks that you give us the opportunity to participate with you in your love and caring, letting us know the joy of generosity and compassion. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
No petitions have been passed forward. I know of at least one joy of our church. It's Diane and Fritz's anniversary. We congratulate them. I know from first service it's 37, right? I commend Fritz. You know, when I asked him this morning what it was, and the minute there he's thinking, and he said, how long have you been married? He said, not long enough. That's a wonderful answer there. You know, I'm going to write that down and remember that myself. Congratulations to Diane and Fritz. Any other joys or concerns that you would like to be brought before the Lord? Well, at this time, I invite you to come to the altar rail if you're so moved to do so during the course of our prayer hymn. Father, living in this nation of ours where our freedoms of religious expression are protected in large part, it is oftentimes easy to tune out the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Christ across the world, the persecution of Christians in hostile environments. And then we witness an attack within our home nation, in a church, the AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And it comes also back to us, the pain. Be with us and be with the families of the victims as we pray for them, as they must now bear the scar of hatred. Provide us with the guidance to confront evil, to eradicate racism, to to address a religious extremism founded on hate. We pray for wisdom of our local leaders, our leaders of this Commonwealth, our nation, and around the world. Grant us the courage to bear good fruit in the face of those who glorify hatred, who would seek to divide rather than unify, who seek to destroy rather than build, who seek chaos over justice. Pray for our service personnel who meet these conflicts and atrocities head on in the mortal and moral challenges they face every day as they pay the price so that we have the ability to express our faith. Pray that the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters facing the darkest of environments be comforted and strengthened. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, our sermon scripture today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Working together with him, then, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now was the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger, by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Our mouth is open to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. The word of God for the people of God. If you are a parent and recall a time where you have experienced exasperation, anxiety, disappointment when faced with the familiar territory of having to discipline an undisciplined child, when you fear that they are going down the wrong path and you try to correct them back onto the right path, you perhaps can have a little sympathy with Paul's relationship as he instructed the church at Corinth. The churches that Paul founded on his missionary trips were no less his children than flesh and blood. And Corinth had been particularly troublesome. From a worldly perspective, the city of Corinth They were at the top of their game. They were a little city, well, not so little, a city positioned on the Isthmus, about 45 miles west of Athens. Their location made them a great trade center for the entire Mediterranean area, including North Africa, Italy, Asia Minor, and they prospered in this. And because of all the different cultures coming to Corinth, they were quite the melting pot. A melting pot, unfortunately, that had established one of the most morally bankrupt social environments of its day. The city of Corinth, just like other cities of Greece, in their high point had an Acropolis, and at their Acropolis they had built a temple to Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. And priestesses served at the temple, and suffice it to say that nothing good happened at the temple of Aphrodite. If somebody, tip of the day, if somebody says you are Corinthizing, and that's an actual word, Corinthizing, you should not take that as a compliment. You should not say thank you. To Corinthianize is to live a promiscuous lifestyle. It is grossly immoral. So in a worldly perspective, perhaps, Corinth was metropolitan, was chic. From a spiritual perspective, they had issues. So I suppose it was a natural for Paul to be called upon to build a church at Corinth on his second missionary journey, and he did so. And Paul's M.O., his modus operandi, was always predictable. He would go to a city, he would find their synagogue, he would go into their synagogue and preach the good news of the gospel. And through those efforts, he would attract his converts, and he would attract his haters, people who saw him as a heretic. And eventually they would find charges to bring up against him such that he was pushed outside of the city. And he would either go off elsewhere to defend himself against the charges or to start a new church. But the church that he had started at when he left was basically left to sink or swim. And as the Paul haters drove him from the city of Corinth and he stepped one foot outside of city limits, the church at Corinth began to sink. Basically, there were two problems with the church at Corinth, which came back to Paul's attention before he had even returned to the general area for his third missionary journey. But the first problem was that they had was they could not break freely from their pre-salvation priorities and values. It's the age-old problem we face even today is how to preach to a world with not becoming of the world. They couldn't divorce themselves from the corruption of the culture they had grown up in. And their second problem, probably related in part to the first, was their fractionalism. There were those who professed to be the followers of Paul, those within the church professing to be the followers of Peter, those in the church professing to be the followers of Apollos and other apostles. And they could not find a way to work together. They were bitterly fractionized over issues that were just not important in the big picture. In short, the church in Corinth refused to grow up. They sought constant attention from Paul. They whined, they challenged Paul, they rarely failed to disappoint him. So that after Paul had left Corinth and became aware of news of their backsliding, he wrote an epistle to them, which is not preserved for us, but is referenced in 1 Corinthians, where he brings to the church of Corinth his concerns and his alarm over their misdeeds and corruption. And in response, the church in Corinth wrote back to Paul, who was positioned in Ephesus, where he was founding a church that actually went ahead to create great fruits. They wrote back to Paul asking for guidance on all types of issues, some that were important, some maybe not. You can almost hear him say, "We need you here. Come back." I think they were jealous of Ephesus. "We need you back here." And Paul responded to them in 1 Corinthians with the guidance they requested, but things just got worse from there. The fractions became worse. False apostles came in and were now actually criticizing Paul, criticizing his character, criticizing his ministry. And when Paul received word from that, he made a 911 trip, an emergency trip back to Corinth to see if he could right the ship. And he went back, and quite frankly, his visit was a failure. Didn't stay long. He was openly insulted. He was not supported by his brothers and sisters, his children for whom he had founded that church. And he left. And some people took it as a sign of cowardice on his part, but in actuality, there was really nothing more that Paul could do for the church of Corinth at that time in their mindset. They had to decide for themselves that they needed to mature. So he went back to Ephesus, and he wrote a third letter to the church at Corinth, which is also not preserved, but is referenced in 2 Corinthians, which is oftentimes referred to as the severe letter, the stern letter, where he again, as in his first letter to the church, expressed his dire concern and their need to repent, because it had come to the point where this church was either going to fall apart or they were going to repent and bear good fruit for Christ. And so he waited for the church's response to that severe letter on pins and needles. He waited for Titus to come back to Ephesus. And in fact, he got so impatient, he went out and started looking for Titus to find out how the church at Corinth had responded to his stern letter. And when he finally met up with Titus, to his glory and his relief, he learned that the church at Corinth had repented and that the rebellion against Paul had been quieted. And from there, we have the backdrop for 2 Corinthians. All these emotions that Paul had stored up come flowing out in this epistle. You read it and you see the raw emotion. You see it's intentionally personal. And it almost seems disjointed as he just spews out these random thoughts that have been pent up in him. He starts out by certainly thanking and exhorting the Lord. He goes into chapter 2 recounting those hard times, that painful visit he just had to Corinth. And then he launches into this defense of his ministry that today's scripture lesson is included in. And I think he's compelled to defend his ministry because he has been criticized by the church at Corinth. And although he won't likely admit it, he was scarred and hurt by that. And he runs through this defense of his ministry. He follows up in chapter 7 with the thankfulness and joy he felt when he heard that the church in Corinth had repented. He moves into chapter 8 and 9 in encouraging them to bear good fruit through an offering to the brethren in Jerusalem. And then back in chapter 10, he's back to busting their chops again about remnant corruptness within their church. And sprinkled throughout the epistle, you see these shots that he takes, my kids would call it nagging, where he expresses a concern that his children in Corinth would not meet their potential. Verse 6:1, "We entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain." And then look at 6:12. "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections." Like, I'm not holding you back. If anybody's holding you back, it's you. I find that particularly profound. It seems obvious. It may not have been obvious to the persons at Corinth, But we can all acknowledge that God gave us gifts to do His will. And so, if you're not using His gifts to do His will, if you're not making that priority, well, there's only two parties in this equation. There's God, and what possible motivation would God have you to give you gifts and then put barricades up to keep you from using them? And there's you. So if you're not using, if we're not using our spiritual gifts, it's because we've put up barriers to ourselves to fulfilling God's will. And I suppose if we're going to do that, maybe we should at least be honest about it. Because our mind plays tricks on us and it teaches us to hide inconvenient truths in the closet. So write this letter to Jesus in your head. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the incredible suffering, the unspeakable suffering that you endured for my salvation. But I've given it a lot of thought and due consideration, and I've decided that I'm going to do things my way before I do things your way. I'm going to prioritize what I want rather than what you want. Because at the end of the day, when the road meets the rubber, I'm out for number one. I'm out for myself. Thanks for understanding, Jesus. Very truly yours. Insert your name here. Sounds kind of worse when you say it out loud like that. What did Paul want his church to do? What does Paul want for us to do? He wants us to bear good fruit. That's not to say that good works are a requirement of salvation, but from salvation you naturally expect good fruit. And it wasn't just for the brethren in Jerusalem that were suffering that he sought this contribution. But in fact, it was a prescription for the disease in the church of Corinth, because they were focused on divisions within the church, things that didn't matter, trying to mold God's character into something that they found more acceptable to themselves. It was exhausting. What Paul wanted to do was to turn their focus into good works, into being good fruit, because he knew that when you bear good fruit, that energizes you, that energizes a congregation. When you focus upon divisions about pettiness, it's all just noise. Sucks the energy right out of a church. Good works, good fruit energizes you. Tell me I'm wrong. People on the work trip, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me when you go on this work trip that you're not energized, and you don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And it goes something like this. You know, somebody says, yeah, the Lance family in Philippi, they're sort of crammed in there. They can use an extra room. And so-and-so here says, yeah, I can probably help out with that. Let me schedule a couple days off work. I'll come down, and more people come down. And then there's members that say, well, I'm not real construction-oriented, but I can help prepare some meals. And then there's people on the home front that say, well, I can supply some of the food that they're going to use down there and contribute money towards their effort and to buy materials. And it unifies our congregation. People who are involved in the Living Last Summer Supper, tell me that doesn't energize you and all the people who help set it up and the sound system and all the work with the costumes and the choir. People who are working in Vacation Bible School, tell me that it doesn't energize you to do God's work. It unifies us. It strengthens us. And that's what Paul, that's the prescription he gave for a church to allow them to regain their sense of purpose. Working together as the body of Christ unifies us. So when God says, we entreat you, don't waste the grace of God in vain, he's speaking to you and me too. Don't do that. Stand up for Christ. Unite us in your good works. And create a vision and a memory for Jesus Christ that he can smile upon when he thinks about his children at First United Methodist Church of Irwin. Amen.
Our hymn of parting is number 514, Stand Up for Jesus.
Treasured memories for our Lord as you bear good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.